What's up, everybody? Do you struggle day to day? Do you get depressed, anxious? Do you just feel busy, overworked? Do you wish there was something you could turn to that can maybe help? Well, you're in luck. Today, we're going to talk about navigating life with ancient wisdom. This is the Existential Stoic Podcast. I'm Dan, here with my buddy Randy. What's up, Randy?
Yo, Danny.
Yeah, so what do you think about this? I don't know, like, it's the topic in general.
This is an interesting one because it's like everybody would love to have an owner's manual to life, but there's just nothing. And it's challenging because the wisdom that we have nowadays is freaking retarded.
Oh, dude, it's
And
all gone.
the people who it's like the people who get the most publicity are just the ones who yap the most, not anyone who has anything upstairs.
No, and you know
And
what's
yeah.
funny? I remember like so clearly. I remember when I first started reading philosophy in undergrad, like, because I was always like, I struggled with a lot of things. And then like I read this and I was like, oh my God, people have been struggling with this since we could write anything down, probably way before that. And there's all these like answers. Like they might like, and the nice thing is too, there's just a variety of answers. So like, even if one doesn't work, there's bound to be somebody else that has like a similar perspective that's going to work with you. Like it's really interesting when you look at it that way, you know?
That reminds me. I heard something a long time ago. Will Smith was doing an interview and he said two things: read and run. And he's like, read because any obstacle you could ever come up against, somebody has already overcome it. And
Yeah.
they've probably written a book about it, so you could figure out how to get through that. And then he said something along the lines of run because you'll always feel like giving up. And if you can just push through doing that while you're running, you can figure out how to do that in life.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah. I mean, you know, conditioning yourself to realize you can get through those moments and also relying on others that are smarter than you or have gone through these things and carefully wrote these things down is a good way to kind of approach problems.
Well, then let me ask you. You had
Okay.
this idea of ancient wisdom for modern life. So, what ancient wisdom did you think of when you were thinking of that
Oh,
title?
when I thought of it, so ancient, and I guess is a relative term because a lot of people think like the ancients, and I do think, you know, so I was thinking of like, you know, clearly like, you know,
Nietzsche.
Taoism. Yeah. Well, no, I think Nietzsche does count though in this. So that's what my point was, right? So I do think like, of course, Aristotle, the Stoics, Plato, you know, I think Taoism, Confucianism, those sorts of things, which are, you know, ancient.
Well, let's go into an example. What's a good
All right.
example of some wisdom?
I think like, well, we've talked about Taoism before, and I think Taoism, you know, the idea of going with the flow of the universe. I think about that a lot these days, and I think it's just really good because I feel like so often now I find when I'm like struggling, it's because I am trying to go against that flow. And I always think of like if the flow of the universe sounds or the flow of nature sounds too like abstract, I think of like the river. Like life is going one direction, and I can try and push against the current, but doing that is taking all this extra effort. It's going to make it a lot harder, and I'm probably not going to get to where I want to go because I'm fighting things. But if I kind of find myself in the current going with it, it's going to be so much easier. And I think that's the basic idea, you know?
Yeah, going with the flow is great. And I think that dude Mihalcek Mahensky-Hav messed it up completely by writing that book Flow because
Yeah.
he
Oh,
basically
God.
names something that happens when you don't think and makes a whole bunch of people think that you can get there by thinking
Yeah.
and by working. And it's just like it's something that happens when you don't work for it. It just comes like
Yeah.
because you're in the activity, but that whole book and everybody wants to be in the flow. And it's kind of like meditate. I look at it like meditation nowadays because there's a whole bunch of flow seekers nowadays who are really like, I want to be in the flow. And it's like, well, you get in the flow by just doing work. Like you
Yeah.
do work and eventually the flow comes up. You
That's
can't get in
it.
the flow first, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like the same thing with meditation. Like people are like, I meditate, but my mind doesn't empty. And it's like, yeah, but meditation isn't emptying your mind. Meditation is sitting there and all the thoughts coming up and irritating the F out of you.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up though, because those are two great examples where I think the modern world's kind of messed up this ancient wisdom where, you know, we write this book on flow and people are trying to get in the flow state, like actively trying, or like meditation, they're trying to get enlightenment. And it's like that's going against the current. You are going to struggle, you're going to get frustrated, and you're not going to get there because you're not doing it properly. And I think, like, you know, it amazes me how much wisdom there is. And I think, you know, it's hard because I know not a lot of people have time to study philosophy. So I've read a lot of it. But I think like when you read a lot of it too, you do see a lot of common themes. People struggle have struggled with the same stuff. That's the other thing that's nice because it's like there's a comfort in that. Like I can go back and read Marcus Aurelius, I can go back and read Nietzsche or Camus or Sartre or like even Kant or Mill, and see similarities in my own life and the problems I'm struggling through. And I think that's really nice because it just shows us like the human experience hasn't fundamentally changed. Like, yes, the world's way more progressed in terms of technology, medicine, stuff like that, but like overall, we have the same problems, same mental issues, the same fears, the same all kinds of stuff. So it's really kind of cool to go back and look at this.
Well, it's interesting in the Tao Te Ching. It's like, do you think you can improve the world? I don't think it can be done. And it goes into that thing. But also, like, this whole concept of trying to get somewhere with meditation or with the flow, where it's like you're by not just recognizing that whatever you're experiencing right here is the flow, you're going against it.
You're actually going
It's
against it.
like the paradox of life, like the Tao does nothing but leaves nothing undone. Yeah. So, anyways, that was a great example. I'd like to give for my first example Marcus Aurelius. So, okay, here's my recommendation because I tell people all the time how I've read Marcus Aurelius' Meditations like over 20 times. And when I say read, I mean listen to
Same thing.
over 20 times. And they're like, how can you do that? That book's insane. And here's why. Number one, just find Marcus Aurelius' audiobook on YouTube. It's read by Vox Stoica, put it on 2x and just let it go. Like, that is incredible. Okay. And then number two, skip the first chapter. Like, I think that the first chapter, I mean, it's great because he starts with gratitude. He's saying, like, thanks for all of these things that got me to where I am today, which is awesome. But nobody reads it because they want to, like, that would be great if it was the last chapter, you know, the acknowledgments at the end of the book. Whereas the second chapter is really where it starts, where he's like, remind yourself when you wake up every morning that you're going to meet with irritating people. And it's just like, that's the nature of things, but they're part of this world just as you are. And you can't live without them, just like the upper and lower teeth. Like, you need both of them. And so, anyways, my ancient wisdom from Marcus Aurelius is contemplating death all the time. It's so helpful because it really, number one, it puts life into perspective because you realize here's like the Marcus Aurelius was the Elon Musk, the Bill Gates, the Warren Buffett of our time, like
Arguably
the
even
most
higher than
important.
them, because he
Yeah,
had full
exactly.
control.
He
Like,
was like mix that with Trump and Putin and everything else, and he was everyone at his time. And he's gone. He's dead. Everything he ever did, gone. And here's the crazy thing. So we're like, yeah, but he wrote this book that everybody knows. But what about the whole entire world that existed while he was alive? Nobody remembers any of that. So, like, it's all just negligible. And he talks about this all the time in meditations, how it's just like most people, like a scant few people get remembered for a couple generations, if that much, but most people just disappear as soon as they breathe out their last breath. And so it's helpful to remember that stuff because we get caught up in these little things in life and all this stuff like throws us one way or another. And just remembering that you're going to die. And even if it isn't, you know, it may be 50 years down the road, but it may be 6 months, it may be tomorrow. And just thinking about those things really help put life into perspective because you stop putting off things that are kind of important to you.
No, him and the existentialists too have helped me a lot with that, because their idea, they're atheists, so nothing happens after we die. We die and that's it. Life has no meaning. It sounds very depressing at first, but then what you realize is like, well, then this is my one chance. This is my life. This is it. What am I doing with it? Right? It gives you that sort of motivation to start thinking about things in that way, switches your perspective to being like, I don't have all the time. This might be the only time I have. Am I living it in a way that I'm happy? I feel like accomplished, or I feel like I'm worthwhile, whatever. And also remembering that, like, whatever I do at the end, none of it matters because I'm gone. So there is a little bit of pressure relieving there, where like I don't have to conform to everybody else and worry about what they think, because guess what? At the end of the day, none of it matters. And I was thinking too,
Absolutely.
on a side note, it might be helpful, because I know like a lot of people, philosophy is scary, it can be really dull, and it can be hard to find. And I think, like, I was thinking maybe some recommendations for people who are interested in this, how they might go about it. I have a few. I would say, if you want to do audiobook route, fine. Keep trying until you find somebody you like that's doing the reading, because that can kill a book. I know that can absolutely kill it. And also, I think, like, your recommendation, skipping the first chapter, you don't have to read these books all the way through. Like, the first chapter, Marcus Aurelius, is a good example. If you're an academic and you're studying Marcus Aurelius, that chapter is great, because like you're getting a sense of like who he's interacting with. You can make connections to other historical figures, but if you're looking at it for like help in life, you don't need that chapter. Just skip it. And I think it's okay to skip through some of this stuff because you're using it for a practical purpose. You're not studying it to, write papers and stuff like that. And my other recommendation is take, well, two more is take it slow and read it often and multiple times.
That's a good one, because I like that's one of the reasons that I have listened to the meditation so often, because it connected with me. And every time I listen to it, I hear different stuff because I'm in like a different mind space when I'm listening to it. And it's just crazy.
I've literally read the Tao Te Ching like probably, I don't know, definitely over 20 times. And it's like there's times where it seems like a totally different book. And like I noticed too when I started teaching philosophy, because I'll reread stuff because I'm teaching it. Like it was like probably like, I don't know, 5 years after I started teaching, I was like, oh my God, I know this stuff so much better because like I've just been thinking about it so much more, rereading it and like from different perspectives, different things going on in my life, and you find out that different sections apply, you know? Well, like the I know we talked about the Enchiridion by Epictetus and Massimo's revamping of that book. That's a great
Field
book too,
Guide
to
to a
like,
Happy Life.
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Because you can just kind of like it's written in such a way where you can kind of just dip your toe in, read like one section today, one another day, and it's like kind of meant that way. It's really nice to kind of like just introduce you to it. But yeah, I think that's a good recommendation. Read it again, read it often, and go slow with it. Don't get stressed out about it. Look for help in these pages.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's see. What other ancient advice, ancient wisdom?
I think just also like, one of the things I've always, I guess, has impressed me by these ancient thinkers is just like the careful thought that they're putting into thinking about their own lives, the world around them and themselves. Like, how often do we actually do that? How often do you sit down and like when you have a problem, how often do you really sit down and with pen and paper and work through it? Like, where are these thoughts coming from? Why do I have these values? Are these from me or are they from society? Are they coming from the outside? Are they coming internally? Like, those kind of questions, we don't often self-reflect that deeply, and we're so not self-aware. So I think like it can be a really good way too to like kind of just bring yourself into the world and into yourself and know yourself in a way that you never really, could have thought before possible.
I like that you mentioned that, because I was listening to that book Die with Zero again, which is kind of like optimizing your finances so you don't die with a whole bunch of money left over, because that would just be wasting your life. And it's a really interesting book for anybody interested in personal finance. But he mentioned that stuff by Bronnie Ware, The Five Regrets of the Dying. And the two top regrets, one was, I wish I lived a life true to myself, not what others or society wanted me to be. And then the other was, I wish I didn't work so hard. And that's really interesting, because I think that, contemplating death for me helps me live a life that's truer to myself, because I see that it's going to end. And I'm like, well, if it's going to end and I'm going to disappoint people no matter what I do, I might as well just do what's right for me.
Well, it's funny though, because how often do we like we do so much stuff? Like I always love Nietzsche because the in the Three Metamorphoses, he the first one's the camel, right? And you're carrying all these obligations on your back. And they're all obligations from society, from other people, from family. And it's like it's not until the camel changes into the lion when he says, no, like no more, I'm done with this crap, that you can start making your own life and being yourself. You have to resist it, and it's hard. And I think they talk, that's the other thing I like about it, because they talk about it a lot. Nietzsche especially talks about it a ton. Like that when you make this transition, it's going to be hard. People aren't going to understand you. They're going to get mad at you. They're going to get upset. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's your life. It's not theirs. And this is it,
Isn't it crazy how people want to impose their will on you? And
Oh,
it's tough to say no.
yeah.
And a
Well,
lot of times,
especially.
because
Oh,
nowadays we're so busy and there's so many opportunities. A lot of times nowadays it's saying no to stuff you actually kind of want to do,
yeah, it is.
but you
It's
just don't
hard.
have the time.
We don't, right? We don't have the time to do it all. We can only do certain. That's the other thing that's great too, is like, Kierkegaard and like Sartre and Camus on choice, and how hard, like they talk about, the anxiety, the dread of just making a choice, because they're thinking about choice from that perspective that I only have this one shot. I can do what I choose to do, but I can't do everything. And all of a sudden, like, It's not just saying no to stuff I don't want to do. It's not just saying no to somebody guilt tripping me or something. It's also saying no because I'm making a very specific choice about the direction I want my life to go. And that might mean saying no to things that I also want to do. And that's hard. And how do I deal with that? Or that I might be making the wrong choice. That's the other fear, right? That dread that this choice is going to define me. Am I making the right one? Yeah.
So let's see. Another interesting thing, so what is it? Wisdom of the ancients is so like I heard recently, now it may or may not be true, but I heard recently that like one thing that can cause depression and a lot of pain in the body and all this different stuff is unconscious psychological conflict.
That sounds
And
100% true. I mean, that seems totally
So
true. Yeah.
I was looking back in my own life to the times when I suffered with depression. And these were times when there was definitely a conflict going on that once I resolved, depression lifted, you
Well,
know?
that's why they call it the weight on your shoulders, right? Because you get that burden off, and it's not like physical, but it feels physical, dude. It really does. No, I agree with you. I think that's got to be the case because, like, all the times when I really felt that way, a lot of times it's also like conflict with these big things. Like I'm doing something I don't really want to do, but I'm not like fully conscious of it yet, you know? And I need to make a big change in my life. Stuff like that can also be very much a source of depression, and that's that internal conflict, right?
And so like where I was kind of going with this is like a lot of times when people are depressed, they feel very much alone. They feel that like there something's wrong with them and everybody else has everything figured out in the world. Nobody else suffers from this, but there's something wrong with them. And it's like one thing that I got from reading philosophy and also from reading a lot of other books, like particularly biographies of famous people, is that's just not true. It's part of the human condition. So it's like being a human comes with a great chance that you're going to be depressed sometime in your life because we have these conflicts that come up all the time, and we have this subconscious and we have this conscious part of us, and there can be conflict between the two of them. And also just like the questioning of it, because one thing that I enjoyed where there were a couple things where there were a couple books like The Myth of Sisyphus and
Awesome, yeah.
some other things where like they talk about suicide and why not to do it. And I remember listening to this book Ikigai, where he talked about the guy who wrote Logotherapy, Viktor Frankl, who was all about logotherapy. And he's like, the first question that he would ask his clients is, well, why don't you just commit suicide now? And it's a really interesting question, because it's like thinking about death is important, but also thinking about why life.
Yeah. And Camus says in the Myth of Sisyphus that the answering the question of whether you should commit suicide is answering the most fundamental philosophical question, because what he's saying is if you say I don't want to kill myself, you've just said that life is valuable. You've just admitted that existence is more valuable than not existing. So now the question is why, right? You've just affirmed now that this has value. You've done it. And I think it is true, right? I'm glad you also mentioned biographies, because when we say ancient wisdom, my brain always goes to philosophy. But like, we don't want to forget, like, there's also religions, there's also biographies. I mean, there's so much. You can even look at histories too. Anything, because I mean, anything from the past gives us an insight into the human experience, and that's really what we're interested in when we're struggling, right? And when we're trying to live a better life. So yeah, I think that's a good point too.
And one thing that I do like what you said about suicide was like you can always commit suicide, so why now? Like
Yeah.
here's a one thing that I learned is like there's a very clear distinction between wanting to die and not wanting to live. Like a lot of
Yeah.
times in life, the pain is so bad, and especially when you have this like unconscious psychological conflict, the pain is so bad that death seems like a better alternative than living with the pain. But it's not
Yeah.
that you actively want to die. And I think that's like an important distinction to make. And for anybody who is considering hurting themselves, like call the suicide prevention hotline. That's what it's there for. There's no stigma in doing it. Like it probably feels like there is, but here's the thing: like everybody has these problems. We have like a mental health
Oh, dude,
epidemic across the
yeah,
world. Like
seriously, yeah.
there's nothing wrong with what you're going through. So like being able to just talk with somebody about it, it's good oftentimes to get outside of your head. And that's one thing that Danny and I both learned from being able to do this every week, where we talk with each other. It was incredible for our mental health.
Oh, yeah. And just acknowledging things and saying them out loud has so much power. And that's something else you learned from philosophy too, as well, which is like, how to acknowledge these things, how to recognize like what you're actually dealing with. I think like the level of self-knowledge and self-awareness you can gain from it is just, it's so worthwhile that it's stupid not to do it. But you know, it's funny too, because I think like I felt that way in the past before with suicide, where like, you know, and it's like I've always, maybe it is from philosophy, I always remind myself like it's like that's something I can always do. That's always an option. So why not wait? You know what I mean? Because like that's final. It is final, right? And I think, you know, and interestingly with Camus too, he talks about philosophical suicide, which is basically not choosing to live your own life and instead, because of fear or because you're afraid, conforming to whatever the standard norms are. And that's another form of suicide where you basically kill your own unique self in favor of, you know, being part of the crowd.
And that can feel, and that can feel just as bad. That's one of the times when I was the most depressed in my life. And we've talked about this before on the show, when like I was doing everything that society said that I should do, that my parents said that I should do, and I was living the perfect life. And everybody was like, "Wow, he's living this awesome life." And I was the most depressed in my entire life because I'd done everything that people said I should do, and I was just miserable. And then,
Wait, oh, go ahead.
Turning a 180 and then deciding to follow my own North Star. That's when everything started to turn around.
And it's hard though, because when you do that, you know, guess what? Your family starts looking at, what are you doing? Like you had all this going for you. Even people you know are like, but you spent all this time doing this. And it's like, but I'm not happy. So what is the point of this? Like, so I should be miserable forever now? And just like, that makes no sense.
You already wasted the whole life behind you doing
Yeah.
this. You should
Keep
at least waste
wasting
what's in front of you.
is really funny when you think about it. And it's funny too that people like, and I know a lot of times it comes from a good, well, I don't know. I think sometimes it comes from a bad place too, but I think a lot of times, even if it comes from a good place, it doesn't matter because it's like, dude, you're not that person. Like, you don't know. You don't know what they're going through and you don't know what will really make them happy. It might be something completely different from what the norm is. Yeah.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing that we're all different people. We all have different needs. And so this is a challenge for me. There's this book, Loving What Is by Byron Katie, where she talks about like doing inquiring into your thoughts, questioning your thoughts. And like the whole concept that different people are living different lives and we don't know what's best for everyone else and actually just staying in our own business is just like it's really difficult, but it's quite interesting.
It is. And you see how many people do it wrong and try to get it. And I think a lot of times that comes from, you know, they're not sure of their own beliefs. They want validation. It comes from a place of really like self-interest, not about caring about the other people. You know, Nietzsche says that about pity. He says pity is about level making the person that's doing the pitying feel better. It's not about helping, you know, at all. It's about raising yourself up. Yeah. And I mean, there is a truth to that, I think. And like, but this is it. We can get to the bottom of these things. Yeah. Do you want anything else?
Well, yeah, so I just think that, me personally, I tend to almost always value ancient wisdom higher than modern wisdom. Because it seems like the stuff that gets passed around nowadays, like looking at social media for how to fix stuff around the house, super helpful. But for the rest of the stuff in life, I don't exactly know.
Well, you know, and the other thing is too, you know, you look back at these works that have survived thousands of years. There's a reason why they survived. There's a reason why people keep turning back to them and rereading them and reading them again and again. So do yourself a favor and start doing that. You know, explore it. There's so much. And, you know, I think for anybody that is interested and goes, you know, does explore philosophy, there's a lot of philosophers and a lot of different philosophies. So if you try one and you find it boring or don't like it, then put it down and try somebody else. Try a different time period, try a different perspective, a different view, because there's so many, you will find one that you do like and a writing style that you appreciate. Bam. So there you have it. You know, living better, or what do we call it?
Something about ancient wisdom in modern times.
Yeah, why you should look at ancient wisdom, whatever. Yeah. So hopefully that helps. Check us out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, share, subscribe, because it helps us out a lot. We'll be back later this week with another episode, though. Until then, later, Andy.
Later, Dane.